Welcome to Sandbach Baptist Church. Special welcome if you're here for the first time, and a really special welcome from our friends from Healing Rooms, who will be participating in our service. And there will be an opportunity for prayer ministry at the end of the service, so we look forward to that. Thank you. Right, so we'll begin our service proper now. So let's just come before God in prayer and commit our time. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We acknowledge your presence among us. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there also. We thank you for your presence amongst us, and we invite your divine presence to fill this room and bless our time together. May your spirit indwell each one of us here this morning and guide our thoughts, words, and actions so that everything we do brings glory to the name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start our worship proper with three worship songs. And in the third song, the collection will be taken and the stewards, I don't know who's stewarding. Perhaps hands waving. Stewards can do the collection in the third song. And just as a reminder, in the collection, for those that are new to us, is little bags and little plastic pots. The bags are for the work of the church. The plastic pots are for the children we support through Compassion. And if you're a visitor here, don't feel obligated to contribute. Just let the collection pass you on. So, okay, so let's raise our voices to God. Thank you. Oh, if you can stand, that's great. If you can't, that's also very good. Thank you.
Oh, Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for everything you've given to us. And we pray that you will accept our gifts of love and service and money. And pray that you will really use it to bless your church here in Sandbach, and also for the children that we sponsor around the world through Compassion and through Open Doors. Father, we pray for them now, each child, that they may know your love and your touch in their lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Yes, thank you for that. What a lovely time of worship that was, wasn't it? Wonderful, wonderful. Right, so we've now got Sue and Esther. And you might wonder, there's only one Sue, but where's Esther? We wait and see.
It's lovely to be here again. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for those children's voices at the back. That's beautiful. And Freya, I know your name. I heard somebody say it. Freya, your name, I know there's different meanings. It is Swedish. It means virtuous woman. And the spiritual connotation is valuable. So you are more precious than jewels. So I'm very pleased you're here. And I have brought a friend. Now, on the notices, it actually says Boris. My name's Sue, by the way. And I haven't brought Boris today. I've brought a friend, and she is called Esther. Now, Esther is a little bit shy. She has been to schools before, but not to a church in a school. So Esther, are you going to come out and say hello to everybody? There, Esther. You've come to Baptist, to Sandbach Baptist Church. Yeah? And are there any children here? There are, Esther. There's Freya. And there are some boys at the back. Yes, 1, 2, 3. And I heard them. Did you hear them when we were singing? I enjoyed the singing. And I'm going to say, Freya, I'm picking you out again, because when you walked in the door, you were dancing to the music at the back. And the first song was all about dancing like a child. And I don't know who Bernie is, but he says, we're never too old, and we are not ever. We are not ever. I think that's two negatives, but never mind. We are always young, always children at heart. Anyway, Esther, I think we need to tell everybody a little bit about you. So, Esther, if I ask you some questions, then we will find out about you, won't we? So, Esther, what is your favourite colour? Red. That's why you've got red ribbons in the hair, in your hair, isn't it? Okay. And Esther, have you got any pets? No, you wish you had a dog because you like dogs. Okay, I wonder whether the children at the back have got any pets. No pets. You wish you had a dog. I know, Esther. Esther, what's your favourite food? You like healthy food? Okay, then. So, what is your favourite fruit? An apple. Especially red apples. Okay. Esther, I like apples, but I also like names, and I like the meaning of names. And do you know what your name means, Esther? Does anybody know what the name Esther means? I give you a clue. The name Rowena is in the name. Esther? Esther? Esther means star. Okay. Hey, Esther, that reminds me of a story. And the story hasn't got a star in it, but it's got some words that begin with star. Okay. So I'm going to share a story with you. And I think you might have heard this story before, but it's well worth listening to. C- Can you listen to? You can listen, Esther, as long as you don't interrupt, all right? Okay, so Esther's going to listen. And the story is this. There was once an elderly gentleman who lived by the sea, and he used to do a lot of writing. But early every morning, before he did his writing, he went for a walk along the beach. And one morning, when he went down to the beach, he saw hundreds and thousands of starfish on the seashore. And then he saw in the distance a boy. And the boy was walking along the shore. And every so often, he stopped, bent down, picked something up, and threw it into the sea. When he got closer, the gentleman said, "Good morning. Can you tell me what you're doing? What are you doing?" And the boy said, "Well, last night there was a terrific storm and the tide threw up all the starfish on the sea, as far as the eyes could see." And he said, "When the sun comes up, they're going to die. So I pick them up and I throw them back into the sea." And the gentleman looked at all the starfish and he looked at the little boy and he said, "Little boy, you're not going to make a difference." And with that, he looked up at the man and he bent down. He picked up a starfish, he threw it in the sea, and he said, "I made a difference to that one." And you know, however old we are, however tiny we are, however big the problem is, we can each one of us, Esther, pick up a starfish, do something kind and good, and throw it back into the sea. That doesn't quite make sense, but we can all do something good and kind, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are. Okay, did you like that story, Esther? You're glad that your name means Esther now. By the way, Esther, do you know that it says in the Bible that God wants us to shine like stars in a dark world? So Freya, keep dancing. Children at the back, shine like stars, because I want to tell you what joy you bring to your mums and the people who know and love you. Esther, I think it might be a good idea if you say goodbye to everybody. Say bye-bye. And we're just going to quickly, waving at the back, say bye-bye. Esther's going to go in there. And I'm going to give Esther an apple because she said she likes apples. And I made sure I got some red ones. And I just want to say that I've brought Esther in a case. And the case protects her and takes her from place to place. And apples, you know, are like cases. And they've got something very precious inside them. So I've got the peel around the outside, the stalk, sometimes you have leaves. Inside, you've got the flesh that we eat. But if I cut the apple, what would I have, Freya? A good girl, I'd have two halves. And right in the centre of the apple, I would have I'd have here the core. But somebody's already beaten me to it, because I think this is quite amazing. Because if I cut it the other way, horizontally, I hope this works. Jim, you've got apples for lunch. Okay, now you can see, let me just show you, let me put the knife down. Yeah, the star. And I just think that's absolutely amazing. Do you see the star inside the apple? See, that's all the pips are there. You see? And just like the case carried Esther and kept her safe and takes her from place to place, so the apple is a case and it takes the pips, the seeds. And deep inside each one of us, in our core, we can do good, kind things and help other people. And we can make a difference. And I don't know if you're like me. There's so many things going on. But when I remembered that story about the starfish, All we've got to do is one small thing and we can make a difference. And finally, I just want to finish with, because I love God's word. Do you know that he says, Psalm 17, verse 8, that we are the apple. Some versions it says the pupil. We are the apple of his eye. So can I leave with you? Shine like stars in a dark world. Be God's apple. He loves you to bits. And the last little thing, make a difference. Vision without action, we just dream. Action without vision, we go round in circles. Vision with action, we can make a difference. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't take this.
Right, thank you, Sue. That was great. I think the children are now leaving us for Sunday school. So we just pray for the children as they go. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bless these precious souls as they go to learn more of you this morning. Be with them and be with their teachers, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Let's come to a time of prayer. Lord, still our hearts. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Living Lord, we thank you that your church family here at Sandbach Baptist Church delight in corporately lifting prayers to you. We remember our Compassion children, and we remember their correspondence, the ones who encouraged them. And we also remember our Open Doors secret child. We lift Tots and Co, and the leaders and helpers, and all who step into that Tuesday morning atmosphere of welcome, warmth and care. For our Sunday school, thank you that you are doing great things in hearts and minds of those children and those who teach and help. We just pray for more families, Lord, more children. And we pray for Energize, our youth work. Thank you, Lord, for the increase in the numbers of those youngsters who come and value that space and time to grow in knowledge and love of you. And we pray for more helpers for these groups, all those groups, Lord. Henry Wadsworth said, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." So we do pray for all countries to find diplomatic solutions and to bring harmony between the nations, for wars to end. We give thanks for your promise that one day there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We pray for world peace in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Living Lord, fill us with strength as we prepare for the week ahead. We don't know what's coming, but we do know that you will be there with us. You know about our to-do lists. Help us faithfully to engage in our Bible reading week from today onwards. Lord, you know our stresses, but in the midst of it all, you give us joy. Joy in you, which just bubbles up and abides in us, for you are giving us your peace and your joy day by day. The peacemakers shall be called the children of God. Help us to be active in spreading your joy and peace. And Lord, we pray for the members of the healing rooms present with us this morning. Please give them boldness and anointing for your power to flow through them, for sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, relying on your power to fill folk and free them from pain, giving internal and emotional healing, spiritual healing, reversing sickness, allowing restoration to occur. Lord, we are asking for barriers to fall. If God heals, the team serves as instruments. The spiritual declaration for the team, Mark 16, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. What a privilege it is to carry everything to you, Lord, in prayer. And so we are rooted and built up in our faith and overflowing with thankfulness. We bring these prayers to you this morning, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. Our reading is Mark 5, verses 21 to 34. Jesus heals a woman who was bleeding. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And may God bless the reading of his word. Amen. And Veronica, would you like to come up now, please? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your invitation to be here, and we're delighted to share with you today. And I just want to thank you as well for your ongoing support for Healing Rooms. And you've been with us on this journey for a long time. It is amazing that we have such a great connection with you. And we look for that to not only continue but increase. So thank you. And we really want to really encourage you today. I just wanted to say as well, there are some leaflets and testimony sheets. There's some little prayer cards with the Healing Rooms prayer line on at the back on the table between the banners. And they're just free to help yourself. You know, do take them and give them away, or read them yourself, or pass them on, or put them in your wallet and give out a prayer card to somebody you know. But do take those. And also, just to remind you as well, that there is a website www.healingrooms.org.uk. There's loads of information on there, testimonies, lots of news, our engagement with other ministries, lots of interesting things. So do just go and access that as well. I'd really encourage you to do that. I have got, I think it's three or four words of knowledge that I want to start with, if that's okay. Words of knowledge are when the Lord speaks to us and he just gives us a word for somebody, or maybe multiple people, that he wants to touch. And we've got John Hulse, who is part of our team. He has sent these through for this morning. So this might just be a word for you. Now, that doesn't mean at the end, if you don't fit into any of these categories, you can't come for prayer. Of course you can. And we believe that the Lord wants to do some healing today. But it just might be that there's something that just hits the mark for you. Okay. So these words of knowledge. Pain in the right ankle or knee. That's one. Someone who seems to always be tired and finds difficulty concentrating at work. Someone who has a urinary tract issue, which could be linked to their kidneys. And the other one that was given to me this morning, actually, which I thought it really resonated with me as well, is someone or maybe multiple people who are living with regrets and find it very difficult to forgive themselves. Even though they know that Jesus forgives, they find it difficult to forgive. And so those are the words of knowledge that we've been given. So do come and get some prayer. Don't go home and leave it. Come and get some prayer. We would love to pray for you today. It's totally confidential. We don't want to expose you in any way, but we will be available at the end. I just wanted to give you a very, very brief update on Healing Rooms. Lots has happened, and particularly since COVID as well, loads of things that have taken place. Just so that you know, there are about Healing Rooms comes from the International Association of Healing Rooms, which is an international ministry in around 70 countries around the world. And in this country, there are around 45 healing rooms around this country and growing. So it's been established since about 1998, something like that. And then, of course, it came originally from the ministry of John G. Lake, who was an amazing healing evangelist from Canada, who actually set up healing rooms in Spokane. that was back in the early 1900s. So just to let you know that the healing rooms in this country, we have a real variety of options for people. There is like the traditional healing rooms, which is literally separate rooms where people have private prayer with normally three prayer ministers, and sometimes that's based in churches, or it can be based in church halls or a variety of venues. We do healing rooms in the marketplace. We've got healing rooms in cafes, in pubs, community locations. We've also got Zoom. So we all got into Zoom, didn't we, in COVID. So people can just book a Zoom appointment. You just book that online, so you can have a Zoom ministry appointment. We've got the prayer line, So people can ring in, that's 5 days a week for 2 hours a day. So anybody can ring in for prayer. And also, we're also doing what we call a hybrid model, where we're going into big churches that are normally open to the public, and then there's prayer opportunities at prayer stations around the church. And that's in places like St. Martin's in the Bullring, if you know Birmingham. St. Martin's in the Bullring, they have a healing rooms there, and that's open for members of the public just to go in, and they get phenomenal amounts of visitors going, which is amazing. There's also a hybrid model in Jersey now, and that is a new one. There's also one in Tamworth, in the centre of Tamworth, a large Anglican church. So that's another growing area for healing rooms. So it's fun to see what God is doing. I just wanted as well just to highlight that we have, and particularly over the COVID time, we set up quite a lot of partnerships, and I'm sure you hear from Brian and Vera quite a lot of stuff through the newsletter about the things that we're doing with partners. We are doing quite a lot with the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer. Who has heard of the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer? Yes. Not bad. That is due to be opened in 2 years' time. And we're really excited about that. That will be just the most largest Christian monument in the nation. And it will be 1 million bricks. If you just go online, Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer, you'll see the design, you'll see they've broken ground already. They're already starting to build it. And it's to celebrate God's goodness, the miracles, signs and wonders that we see and have seen through the ages. And that is on the agenda. We work with them. And we also are hoping that we'll actually have a healing rooms there. So actually at the site, there will be a healing rooms available and operating. So it's not just celebrating what God has done. It's saying, Lord, we believe you want to do it now. It's live. It's vibrant. It's happening. So people can go and access and receive prayer and access the wonderful opportunity to have a miracle themselves. So we also work with UCB Radio. We've got a number of people on team who are linked in to UCB Radio. They have been amazingly helpful to us, so good. We work with Bethel Sozo UK, and we actually shared a conference with them this past year, where we had 1,400 people that came to a conference in Peterborough, and that was an amazing time to really see God break out. We work with a ministry called the International Association of Healing Ministries, and that's based in Switzerland, but it is an international organisation, and we partner with them. Brian and Vera are very involved in that, and most months there is online prayer, and we provide the English-speaking prayer rooms that people can access from around the world, and we provide the online prayer in breakout rooms online. So there's a lot going on. It's an exciting time, and God is on the move. You know, we hear such amazing testimonies of church attendance going up from about 4% to 17%. And I heard last week that the sale of Bibles has gone up by 134%. The sale of Bibles. We're in a time when God is breaking out all over the place. You know, we should be expecting you to double in size, and you bringing more chairs in, and expecting people to come in the doors, and particularly amongst young people, there's a huge number of young people that are seeking. They are feeling so lost and not knowing what is going to happen. There's so much unsettlement around the world, and they're looking, and you know, we should be there for them, and that's what God wants. So be encouraged, and I'm delighted to hand over to Paul Entwistle, who is part of our he's been part of the Healing Rooms ministry and our advisory board for some time, and we've been so blessed by Paul. And so thank you, Paul.
We'll just pray for Paul now. So Father God, we just bring Paul before you now. We ask that you would anoint him this morning, anoint the words he has to say, Lord, and that those words would bless him, and they would bless each one here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to see you all and to come to Sandbach. We live in Congleton. I'm married to Rowena. She's sitting there, and she keeps me on track. Gives me lots of encouragement. And I am a retired pastor now, in one sense, but I'm not retired in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that's partly why I'm here today. So thank you very much for inviting me. Thanks, Brian, for your welcome. And we'll just pray very briefly. Father, your word is amazing to us. Your communications from your heart set us free this morning. And we just invite you to bring alive this word in a special way. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, have you ever been in a dark place? Have you ever been in a fix, in a place of desperation, depression, not knowing how you're going to get out of the situation? Many years ago, my baptism in 1978, I had a prophetic word that was given. God is going to take you through to some places where you're not going to see the way out. You're going to have to trust him like Abraham. And boy, have we been in that situation over the last couple of years. It's been quite challenging in many ways. But I want to turn to what the scripture is this morning in Mark chapter 5. We've started with verse 21 because I think it's quite important to realize that God is not too busy for you, and he's not too busy for me. He has a listening ear to our prayers. And what it says here, that when Jesus crossed over, I guess, from the other side of Galilee, and they came to the other side, and there was a guy, a ruler of a synagogue called Jairus, and he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he really implored Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And he went with him. Now, if that was you and I, perhaps we would be focused on this one thing. And, and then we read about this lady who actually pushed through the crowd of people. This was a pushing and shoving type crowd. This was a crowd that were desperate to get to Jesus and to be with him, because they'd actually heard of what Jesus had done and was doing. So what we find about the lady was that she was in a desperate condition. She was isolated from her community by implication of her condition, and she'd been unwell for 12 years. That is a long time to be suffering in the way that she was suffering. And we read that there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians, that spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. That is a desperate position to be in. Because what we have to understand is, if according to the Mosaic law, that she was considered to be ceremonially unclean. And therefore, she was kind of confined to the place that she lived, away from society. Just imagine what that would do to somebody for 12 years. All sorts of negative emotions would start to surface. And so anyone that touched her would become ceremonially unclean. And if she touched anything, that would be unclean. And so she saw something and heard something about Jesus. She saw something in her own mind. And we can read in verses 27 to 28 that there is really power in testimony. There is something about hearing about what Jesus is doing in your life and my life, which is important for others to hear. And if we were to read Matthew 14, we would learn that it was common practice for people, and particularly in this chapter of Matthew 14, to bring people who were sick to Jesus so that they may touch the hem of his garment. Okay, that was there. She obviously heard that this was going on, and faith arose within her. I mean, the book of Revelation, it talks about in chapter 19 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So there's something prophetic about your testimony, and there's something prophetic about mine, in that if we share what the Lord has done, it may well be that someone will get to hear about that and faith will arise in their hearts. What does Romans 10 say? That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the word of God is God's communication to you and me as to what he wants to do. And I believe that today that he will do some things. So if we go on, we read that she pressed on through the crowd, okay, in verses 27 and 29. It says this, that she had, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And she would have actually pushed to get through. And then it says, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. There is something about that hem. There is something about that fringe. If we were to read in the book of Numbers, we would understand that the outer garment had tassels, and these tassels had a thread of blue through them, and that is highly symbolic. First of all, that tassel was a memorial, a reminder for the Jewish people to obey the commandments of God, and secondly, that blue symbolizes prophetically divinity, Holy Spirit, heaven. So. This lady reached out and touched that area, and she, at that point of contact, she received healing and became very much aware that she felt in her body that she was healed. Now, it's important for us to be honest with God. And in verses 34... we read verses 33 and 34. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So we need to be honest about what our condition was. And it doesn't record what she says, but I would suggest that what she was saying was, listen, this law, this Jewish law, I'm not supposed to touch anybody, but I just felt I had to come through and touch the hem of your garment. She had to push through condemnation. She had to push through shame and fear. Essentially, what happened was she swapped her fear, shame, identity for the righteousness of God, for the grace of God, to step in to a new dawn. And then finally, I just want to conclude by saying this. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, there's a fantastic verse that will help us to know that the risen Christ is alive today, active in healing. And that is that for those who revere his name, the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in its wings. And you shall go out like calves released from a stall. Have you ever seen young cattle set free from a place of confinement? They bound out, don't they? I believe this woman was set free and given so much energy. Just compare it to having all the life joint drained out of you and being brought into a place of energy and vitality because of what the Lord had done, because she heard spiritually and faith arose in her and she received her healing. Hallelujah. It was more than a physical healing. It was an emotional healing. And it was like Jesus giving her a fresh new identity, a repatriation into community, a re-establishment of relationships and set free from fear. And there are one or two times in my life I've had to press through. How are we doing for time?
We're okay.
We're okay, yeah. There are one or two things I've had to press through. Number one, very simple one, okay. We were in our second house in Congleton, as probably late my late 20s, and I developed laryngitis. Okay, it's a simple. God's interested in healing laryngitis, and I had like a chest cold, and I barked like a dog, and I could hardly speak properly, and I thought this is no good. I am just going to praise the Lord. So I started to croak praise out, and I had to press through. It was stupid, in a sense. But I pressed through, and in a matter of minutes, I got my voice back. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. There's no formula to healing. It's what God wants to do with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On another occasion, and this was perhaps a little bit more serious, I had an anxiety illness in the early 90s. We'd been living in Jamaica for just under a year, and we'd come back, and I had 10 years experience in 1 year, and I went off with a stress illness, and I was off work for about 3 or 4 months. And one of the things that I learned to do was to take the Word of God and pray it through and meditate on it. So I took the healing scriptures to heart. You know, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and it is peace. There are lots of them. You know, I will take away sickness from among you. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I prayed these things through and I had a confession sheet. It's not that it's a formula, but it gives the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bring that word and make it a living voice to me. You know, if we need to receive that living voice out of the Word of God that would convince us and give us faith that God is going to heal, that he has healed. And so I used to go to work and it was the hardest thing I'd ever did when I went back to work for a few months. It was like pressing through, believing and believing and believing, with all these negative feelings arising in my life. And eventually I came through to a place of peace. There was the outpouring of the Spirit in the early 90s. So I had the Word, and then I had the Holy Spirit in a way that I've never encountered before. And all this joy erupted in my life. And what does the Bible say? That laughter is good medicine. Hallelujah. We need the joy of the Lord, because that was like part two of my healing. So I'm just going to leave it there. But you know, let's press in to what God has for us. Sometimes we have to pass through and push through all sorts of negativity, all sorts of the crowd of thoughts in my mind. God will never heal you. God won't do this. God won't do that. You know, you're finished. But all those are lies from the enemy, and we need to push through and take God at his word. He is the Lord who is my healer. Hallelujah. He is the Lord who is your healer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, thank you, Paul. That was a pretty powerful message, I think. I think because of the time, we're not going to sing the final hymn. However, if you could prepare yourselves, we'll sing it as the outro, okay? In the meantime, I will close in prayer, but what I would suggest is that the members of the healing rooms, the team, the prayer team, would maybe stand at the back, so that people know who they are. So if you can make your way to the back, that would be great. And then people can take ministry. And for ministry, we can use either this room, the corridor, and there's a small room that the children use. I think that's available. We can use that for ministry as well. Okay. So let's just close in prayer. So we thank you, Father God, for this time. We thank you that you have been with us, you have blessed us, and we just thank you, we praise you that you are always there, and we so look forward to you being there, and we so look forward to you blessing people, anointing people, and let the work you may do through the rest of this service this morning, in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.